Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first edition of Neonatal Review, Isolate to Crib. The purpose of this podcast is to review high-yield common topics in neonatology, while our focus is geared towards the perinatal neonatal boards. Anyone learning or studying neonatology will find this podcast helpful. I will be one of your hosts for this podcast. I am Dr. Julie Weiner, one of the neonatologists and current medical director for the NICU at Children's Mercy Hospital in Kansas City, Missouri. We're located here in the Heartland, where we're known for our barbecue and most recently 2020 Super Bowl champs, Go Chiefs. Welcome and thank you for joining us. To help prepare for boards, we have a collection of neonatologists to help us along the way. All have either passed boards, been there, done that, or are currently studying for boards in the same boat as you. We are joined by Dr. Jyoti Sharma, one of the other hosts for this podcast, who is the current fellowship program director here at Children's Mercy Hospital. Tell everybody hi, Dr. Sharma.
Hello there.
She is joining us to talk about apnea prematurity and what we need to know. So take a sip of your caffeine, keep breathing, and we will all get through this together. All right, Dr. Sharma, what do we need to know about apnea?
So as you know, apnea is a very common problem that we encounter in our practice, more so apnea of prematurity. So apnea of prematurity is actually a developmental disorder in preterm infants. It is due to the immaturity of the respiratory control. Apnea is defined as a cessation of respiratory airflow. Apnea of prematurity is defined as cessation of breathing for more than or equal to 20 seconds or a shorter respiratory pause that is associated with bradycardia with heart rate less than 100 beats per minute, with or without oxygen desaturation, cyanosis, or pallor in infants less than 37 weeks gestation. In practice, many apneic events in preterm infants are less than 20 seconds because briefer pauses of 5 to 10 seconds occur frequently in preterm infants and are normal unless they result in bradycardia or hypoxia.
So if apnea of prematurity is in preterm infants, what is different if a 40-week newborn infant has apnea?
That's a very good question. Apnea of prematurity is distinguished from apnea of infancy. Apnea of infancy refers to infants who are more than or equal to 37 weeks gestation at the onset of apnea. A 40-week gestation infant who has apnea would have a diagnosis of apnea of infancy. This is because the cause of apnea in this age group is likely different from apnea of prematurity, as we will discuss later. The incidence of apnea in term infants is low. Therefore, the cause of apnea in term infants should be assumed to be pathological with a differential diagnosis that can range from a seizure disorder, infection, severe birth asphyxia, intracranial hemorrhage, or stroke. Thus, that we'll need to do further investigations to look for a cause.
So how does apnea of prematurity and apnea of infancy differ from just normal periodic breathing?
As we go along, we are realizing that there are many different entities when it comes to breathing. And this is a very good question. And I think it's important for us to distinguish all these three different entities. Periodic breathing results when there are episodes that are characterized by a pattern of repetitive cycles of breathing and respiratory pauses that are approximately 5 to 10 seconds in duration. It's important to note that these pauses may be accompanied by modest oxygen desaturation and bradycardia that do not require clinical intervention. Periodic breathing is actually very common in preterm infants, but needs to be differentiated from apnea of prematurity, as periodic breathing typically does not require intervention.
In preterm infants, how is the frequency of symptoms related to gestational age?
The frequency of symptoms is inversely proportional to gestational age. The incidence of apnea increases with decreasing gestational age.
What is the incidence of apnea of prematurity?
So the incidence of apnea of prematurity actually varies greatly depending on the gestational age of the infant. In very preterm infants, which generally infants less than or equal to 28 weeks gestation, apnea occurs virtually in all infants. And this is based on a review of cardiorespiratory recordings from pneumography and cardiac and pulse oximetry monitoring. About 92% of apneic spells resolve by 37 weeks postmenstrual age and 98% by 40 weeks postmenstrual age. Infants born at 24 to 28 weeks gestational may continue to have apnea beyond 38 weeks postmenstrual age, prolonging their hospitalization. But most of these infants are those infants that have bronchopulmonary dysplasia or BPD. In the majority of cases, apnea is resolved by 43 to 44 weeks gestation. The other category is the moderately preterm infants. This generally refers to infants more than 28 weeks gestation. The proportion of infants with apnea decreases in this age group from 85% for infants born at 30 weeks gestation to 20% for those born at 34 weeks gestation. We all are aware that persistent apnea results in longer hospitalization. It is important to note that there is a wide variation in the rate of apnea amongst NICUs because the criteria for diagnosis of apnea is varied. In most infants, apnea of prematurity follows a common natural history. More severe events require intervention resolving first. Last resolves are isolated, spontaneously resolving bradycardic events of uncertain clinical significance.
So Dr. Sharman, now that we've kind of defined apnea and separated apnea of prematurity from apnea of infancy, what are the causes of apnea?
That's another very good question. And to discuss the cause of apnea, I think it's very important for us to first classify apnea.
And so how do you classify the apnea in newborns?
Apnea is classified based on the respiratory effort and airflow as central, obstructive, or mixed. The classification depends on the presence of continued inspiratory efforts and upper airway obstruction. In central apnea, inspiratory efforts are absent, resulting in cessation of breathing effort. In obstructive apnea, the inspiratory effort persists but are ineffective in the presence of upper airway obstruction. And the airway obstruction usually is at the pharyngeal level. In mixed apnea, the upper airway obstruction with inspiratory efforts that precedes or follows central apnea. Most apneic spells in preterm infants are central or mixed. A study of physiologic recordings of approximately 2,000 apneic episodes in 47 infants showed 40% of the episodes were central, 50% were mixed, and approximately 11% were obstructive. Interestingly, the longer the episode of apnea, the more likely it is the mixed type, as opposed to short respiratory pauses, which are primarily classified as central apnea.
So as we're moving on, Dr. Sharma, can you just kind of summarize what you've said about apnea prematurity, about the definition, incidence, and classification, and just kind of make sure we're understanding where we are?
So to summarize today's podcast, apnea of prematurity is defined as cessation of breathing for more than or equal to 20 seconds or a shorter respiratory pause associated with oxygen desaturation with or without bradycardia in infants less than 37 weeks gestation. Apnea of prematurity is a developmental disorder that reflects physiologic immaturity rather than a pathological process. Apnea of infancy refers to infants who are more than or equal to 37 weeks gestation at onset of apnea and pathologic cause should be considered as opposed to physiologic immaturity, as with apnea of prematurity. Periodic breathing is usually defined as repetitive cycles of breathing and respiratory pauses that are approximately 5 to 10 seconds in duration and clinically asymptomatic. Apnea is classified as central, obstructive, or mixed. Most apnea spells in preterm infants are central or mixed. The incidence of apnea increases with decreasing gestational age.
Thank you, Dr. Sharma, for helping us understand the definition, incidence, and classification of apnea prematurity. We hope this information will better give you an understanding of apnea prematurity. Please join us in our next podcast where Dr. Sharma will discuss the pathogenesis of apnea prematurity. This is Neonatology Review, Isolate to the Crib, and I'm Dr. Julie. Thank you for listening.